Hello and welcome to the season finale of the Layover Podcast. Hopefully y'all have all seen the companion show by now. It's called Jetlag. But here is the season finale you've all been truly waiting for. Layover Podcast.
Look, Sam, Toby, I've said this more times than I hoped to, certainly. Congratulations on winning Jetlag the game.
Yep.
Thank you. The $1 million prize money will be truly life-changing.
We simply cannot beat women. We just can't do it.
It's true.
Yes, the matriarchy maintains its supremacy on Jetlag the game.
I will say, I think it's quite clear in the episode. I certainly wanted to win, but I was a little bit glad, Toby, that you won, because I know that your biggest hesitation with returning to Jetlag was that you were concerned about losing your status as an undefeated jet lag champion. And instead, you have ascended to the status of the only undefeated two-time jet lag champion. You are now, I think, statistically the greatest jet lag player of all time.
Look, I don't know. When you have a small sample size, it's easier, right? But look, it was really, really amazing to manage to pull off a win again. It feels like pulling off a miracle twice, because you guys did try so hard, and you know, you see in the episode, really gave it your all.
So
but you just could not beat us.
Not because we played well. To be clear, you could have said it was really nice because you and Ben played so well. You did such a good job. Instead, you said because you tried so hard.
Well, look, Sam and I, we had some good stuff going on. We had a good plan going for us. What can I say? I'm actually really excited for this episode of The Layover in particular, because it feels like the first true debrief, the first time we can really put all our real opinions of this and that and all our ideas without having to hold anything back. So I'm very excited to get into all of our decisions. It was extremely interesting for me to watch this episode come together in the edit, and I learned about plans that you had that ultimately fell through that I didn't even know about at the time. And you had various paths to victory that I didn't even, you know of until today, basically. So yeah, just a lot going on.
So let's get into it. We start the episode with a pretty gorgeous sunrise looking like in Alice Springs, pretty good place to watch the sunrise. And also a reminder of the fact that it was what? 5 a.m.? 5:30? 6?
6 a.m.
6 a.m.
It is 6 a.m., which, as we point out, the game day starts at 7:30 Sydney time, which is 6 a.m. Alice Springs time, because it's an hour and a half time zone.
Even more confusing.
Yeah.
It's even more confusing than we had said in the show.
Ben messaged me when we were doing the edit for episode 6, and he said, "Oh my God, I think that you and I might have accidentally started the game day 1 hour early," because he said, "I was just looking it up and Adelaide and Alice Springs are in the same time zone, but we started an hour before them." And I double checked and I said, "Well, Ben, that is true now, but at the time of filming, it was daylight savings time," which I don't remember which one recognized. I believe Adelaide recognizes daylight. No, I think the Northern Territory recognizes daylight savings time and South Australia doesn't. It's one of those two. But that is the explanation.
Yeah. But it's doubly confusing again, because there's a bit at the end of the episode in the trophy sequence where you see me walking across the state border, New South Wales, Queensland, and I'm saying that it's changing by an hour. That also was true at the time, but is no longer true because Queensland doesn't observe daylight savings. So those two borders are actually now in the same time zone.
Yeah, and also like half of my mental energy this season just went to tracking the time zones. Because like the Sydney-Brisbane thing, like you fly basically directly north.
South, Brisbane-Sydney.
Well, yes, but like in either direction, you're flying just straight north-south.
Yeah.
And yet your time zone changes, which is not very normal that you fly north-south and do that. But also, even more confusingly, Brisbane is ahead?
Behind.
Oh, wait.
No, Brisbane's sometimes behind. But at the moment, it's the same, but is sometimes behind New South Wales.
Okay, yeah, because I'm remembering what was confusing me at the time is like Brisbane, at least the populated area of Queensland, is east of the populated area of New South Wales. So this you actually accurate. Go north and then a tiny bit east, and yet you're a time zone behind. Yeah. So it's like, if you apply any sort of logic to it, it's the reverse of what you think.
Well, it also didn't ultimately really create a problem, but we didn't realize until later that day that Queensland was behind New South Wales, which meant that we landed an hour later than we thought we did. Because we landed at what, like 2 Queensland time, which was actually 3 Sydney time or whatever. And I remember when we were looking at options later, I was like, why is it so limited? Like, why is it so hard to fit the rest of this in before the end of the day? And it was because we had an hour less than I thought, because you gained an hour when you flew to Sydney, which was very confusing.
Yeah.
There was a world in which no team, obviously we know by now, no team ended up going up to Perth. But because we were doing a single time zone game, we could have had a team starting at, I believe, 4 a.m.
Yeah,
in
that
Perth?
Would have been kind of rough.
Like that. Yeah, not ideal.
Well, of course, like our bodies are on the same time zone, but it would have been hours of darkness.
Yeah.
And I think the earliest jet lag start time in quite a while. We've done single time zones in the U.S. before. It's just you have to do it this way for the game. But anyways, we should really get into it. There's plenty to discuss. So this time, Ben and Adam decide not to do anything.
This is accurate.
Yeah. I mean, we knew what our plan was. We had enough money. I mean, I feel like we do a pretty good job of explaining in the episode, but basically, like, we knew we could make more money and that there would be an advantage to having more money, but it would require risking too much of the money that we already had.
Mm. Yeah. And, like, it starts to get a headache when you start to think about all the optionality too much. But, like, we basically weren't worried about money because we thought that your restriction was time, not money. So, like, we were not concerned about depositing really high balances in places that you guys couldn't overcome, because we were of the belief that what was really going to limit you was that we thought you could only get to a certain number of regions. And obviously, I mean, as you know, we were wrong because you did the Gold Coast trick. But, like, we were like, by the time they see what we've done, they'll only have time to go to one. Like, they could get back Queensland, or they could get back New South Wales, or they could try to get back Canberra. But, like, they could only do one, and we thought that would lead to the win. So we weren't worried about having more money. We were like, we just need the minimum to flip.
Well, that is funny because, like, we had the exact same belief, but in reverse.
Right.
We weren't worried about money because we thought your constraint was time.
Right.
Yeah. And we'd spend a lot of time looking at optimized flight paths to various places. And I'll say we didn't always know we were going to do the Gold Coast trick at the end. We actually had various other tricks, including we did also know about the Canberra Queen Bean bus trick of going New South Wales, Canberra at the end. We also considered that. And we considered ending in lots of different places. And we kind of just laid out all these optimized routes and we thought, okay, these are all our options. And throughout the day, it iterated until Gold Coast ended up making sense. But we did have still a lot of options that we were considering.
Yeah, so like you see Toby and I sit down at the start of this episode. And I remember when I was watching an early cut of this episode, I had to point out to Ben and Adam that we have this line that we drop in later that's like, we've been here an hour or something. And I wanted to convey that like, that wasn't hyperbole. We literally were sitting on that bench researching and going over math and all that for a good hour of the day.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the first things we decided, Toby, was that we were not in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to somewhat be more responsive to what Ben and Adam did. So we knew that we had the time to put into planning. And we very much did.
And you filmed every minute. And I watched
all of it. Well, I kept thinking that we were
almost done. Which one of you edited that? Did you have to watch it all, Ben?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor Ben edited that chunk. And that was tough for him.
I apologize.
And also had to edit out every instance where you said Gold Coast.
You're right.
Because you guys had that plan the whole time. But we obviously wanted it to be a surprise. And so we had to edit it in such a way where you guys were being kind of vague about what you were going to do.
Yeah, I think you did a good job.
Which you then eventually start doing intentionally,
Mm.
which was helpful, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But at that time, you were not.
One note about Gold Coast that I just wanted to say is that I only identified this Gold Coast hack, I called it, on day one. And it was on the bus to Bondi Beach that I, for the first time, was just zooming around on the map on Google Maps and I noticed the border. It wasn't something that I arrived to play the game knowing about. And it's actually something that couldn't have been thought of until we started playing the game, because the night before, like, a lot of rules were still changing. And it wasn't until the night before we played that it was decided you could deposit anywhere in the region and you didn't have to be at the challenge board, things like that. So I just wanted to say, like, it was something I found during the game and I was as surprised as you guys were on day one. I was like, hey, this looks good.
Yeah.
Well, it was really fun to find that footage on day one that we could put in episode one and be like, this will be such a fun piece of foreshadowing because, you know, obviously what we do is we put it there. You never bring it up again. And then it's the last thing. And hopefully if people have been paying attention in the season, when the reveal happens, they'll be like, oh my God, right. The Gold Coast thing that Toby mentioned in episode one.
Yeah.
Part of what I think makes the Gold Coast hack, if we want to call it that, so good is, like, as you mentioned, Toby, like, there were other opportunities to do a similar thing, as we of course see. Like, Canberra is a great opportunity to do exactly this. There's the public bus network, it's right there, it's very central, everything. However, the key difference and what makes Gold Coast the best to do this is the fact that it is consistently in this game probably the easiest airport to get to, because it has flights from everywhere and they're always cheap. So, like, pretty much wherever we were, we knew that we could get back to there and we knew that we wouldn't have to pay very much at all. Whereas Canberra was consistently some of the most expensive flights. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to have spent a lot of budget and there tended to be fewer frequencies and you have to go a little bit further to get to the border.
Yeah. And once I had found the Gold Coast one on Google Maps, I did the same on, like, all the borders. And there are others. There's Albury in New South Wales, Victoria, yeah, which I think you guys might have known about. But actually recently, my friend and fellow YouTuber Julian O'Shea alerted me to another one, which is that Tasmania actually has a land border with Victoria. It's an hour boat ride off the coast of Melbourne and it's called Boundary Islet. And you could have actually taken a boat from, well, it's probably not that accessible really, a boat 1 hour from Melbourne and gone to a land border with Tasmania. I was like mind blown when I saw that one.
That would have been good to know. That would have been good to know.
I did not know of that one at the time of the game.
Boundary Island. Huh.
Man. Yeah. I mean, these are just things that, like, we did not know going in starting the game.
Yeah. It is just so funny, though, that just, like, we both basically came up with the same plan, like, just different versions of it. Like, we came up with the border trick in Canberra, and you were like, we're going to do a border trick in Gold Coast. And we were both like, well, the other people will have never thought of this.
Yeah.
And, I mean, of course, ultimately, you guys come out on top. But, like, it is funny that our plans were different versions of the same thing. What's especially interesting is that if we had been able to go to Canberra, the end potentially could have been a bit stickier, because ultimately, you guys, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but you guys, I think, would have still won, because the amount of money you had, you could have beaten our deposit in New South Wales. But if we had successfully gone to Canberra, there's a potential that we could have had time to do a challenge once we realized what you had done and try to get more money as, like, a Hail Mary to get back over the border.
Where would you have done a challenge?
In Canberra.
You never would have had that time.
Yeah, and of all the challenge boards, the Canberra one is the closest to the airport, I think. It's, like, only a half hour bus. I don't know.
Well, it's like a half hour bus and then 20-minute walk.
It's dicey.
Well, but, like, I'm just saying, like, especially if we had made the earlier Canberra flight, because there was an earlier Canberra flight that we were hoping to take. Our plane got in a little late and we couldn't have made it. But, like, if we had made the first Canberra flight that we wanted, I think we would have landed in Canberra with, I think it was 3 hours left in the day, something like that. And, like, that's tight. But that's, like, maybe enough time to get to the challenge board, do a quick one, and get over the border. I'm not saying it's realistic, necessarily, but, like, there's a world where you could do it.
Yeah. Well, we'll bring up later, Toby and I had a lot of discussions about what we believed was y'all's best path to victory, which was pretty different from this. But we'll bring this up a little bit later because we talked a lot about this. But for now, eventually, Toby, we essentially, after a lot of back and forth, determined that the game for us really starts in the afternoon. Because we want it to be responsive, because we needed to be actually responsive to what Ben and Adam did, we needed to wait to see how they played it in order to get meaningfully further into things. And we also didn't want to tip our hand early. We were, I think, pretty set on the Gold Coast pack at that point, but not 100%. But we knew that if we were doing that, we didn't want to go there until as late as possible so that they didn't figure out what we were doing.
Yeah.
So I think with all of this, we determined, and it was, as we conveyed, it was a bit of a difficult decision just on feel. We decided to throw all of our money into the ocean.
Yeah, we did, which was fun. I think we'd been able to rule out that they were coming back to Adelaide, and so we were happy to leave Adelaide. And that meant we were happy to commit to going to Victoria, and we knew there'd be an ocean there. It was only a matter of getting to two of the beaches.
Yeah. It just really did not feel great to be traveling with a $0 balance.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, you look at it logically and you know that, like, there's really no way that that can really go wrong except for just, like, the flight just never happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest risk there was just, like, I don't know, Melbourne Airport closes down and something like that. But at that point, we're probably screwed regardless. But it just didn't feel good, I think, at this stage.
It felt like the kind of play that belonged on the last day, though, to bet all your money on the last day. It felt like, it's like, yeah, why not? Might as well.
I think it's fun that we got two all-in plays in the season. Yeah. I like that.
I remember when we were discussing that challenge, and we were like, is it a problem that it sort of is a guarantee? And we were like, well, it's not real. We were like, there's a possibility that your flight gets delayed or canceled. And if you don't complete it within the day, you can't do it. Like, there's a possibility that your bottle gets messed up. And like, the difference between 99% and 100%, right, is a significant enough difference that I think, like, you guys were still a little nervous. I think were right, though, that like, you made the calculation of like, look, if we can't get to Melbourne today, we're losing anyway. So like, we might as well bank on it, which I think is the correct assessment.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, in most circumstances, the inflexibility counts for a lot.
Right.
Like, tying up your travel plans for a good while and tying up what you have to do for a good while, that does have a cost in this game.
Totally.
But we were in this very specific scenario in which it actually didn't, because we had actually thought that we might just literally sit around for a while to kill time. And so this was sort of just a replacement for that.
Right.
The real cost of this challenge actually was the time it takes to go to the beach, which added at least an hour in Adelaide and potentially 2 hours in Melbourne just going to the beach and back. And that was an enormous time commitment for us. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so we go to the beach, we get the water. It's a very cold day at the beach. Then we go to the airport. We once again get on the right bus. This time was more difficult, though. And the bus was like 15 minutes late, as I'm told is very regular in Adelaide. But anyways, what do y'all do?
We check out the Todd River. We decide that it's too risky. The real assessment there, I mean, Ben, you remember this. Like, it wasn't that we thought that we might fail so much as we were like, it would take too much time to do the challenge in a way that would guarantee success.
Yeah. I mean, this was an example of one of those challenges that, like, you know, much like the signal flags or the
telegraph
machine, for example, like, if you had unlimited time, you could basically guarantee it. But we were not working with that amount of time. So we would have had to find a bus, get all the way over to Bunnings, get to back, Bunnings, cross get the back, river.
And then get to the airport. And we were like,
Yeah. Because this is another thing that we didn't really get to show very clearly in the show, but that, like, the buses did not go to the airport.
Right.
For some reason. So you had to find a taxi to the airport.
And that was not easy.
Up until that point, we had no idea how to do that. there was like maybe an app that would kind of work, but we couldn't get it downloaded. We couldn't sign up for it because we didn't have an Australian number.
We tried calling the taxi service. That wouldn't work.
So we couldn't be like, oh, we can guarantee that we can get to the airport in exactly 40 minutes. Because we were just like, it could be a whole adventure just getting there.
Right. Ultimately, we got a taxi because we asked the people who worked at the botanical garden to call us one.
Yeah.
As I say in the show, not a lot of botanics in that botanical garden. Gotta say.
No. It was not the season, I don't think.
No.
So, Toby, we obviously go redeposit the ocean to its natural habitat, which, as you mentioned earlier, was quite a trek, especially because, like, the trams in Melbourne just decided to not show up for a good 20 minutes. Mm. But, yeah, we go to the ocean. And at this point, this is when we start deciding if we are going to the Gold Coast. And some of what led to this was the fact that I think at this point we had seen that Ben and Adam were on their way to the airport, and therefore we knew with pretty good certainty that their balance was their balance. Like, there was no way that they were going to earn more, or at least significantly more budget, and therefore we could start to do end game math to figure out, like, the permutations of if they put this much here, we put this much here. This was mostly you, but we see a little bit of this. And what this starts to show to us is that we think that the Gold Coast strategy works, basically.
Yeah, I think most of that math was just us figuring out, okay, I think we have enough money that if XYZ happens, we should be able to still compete for a region, or just various permutations of how much would they spend and how much would we spend, and will we still have a chance of coming out on top. And we were looking good because we had some coins. We had a good balance. It wasn't enough, though, to guarantee that under every permutation we could outbid them, but I think we had a good chance. And it was on that tram that we identified a flight from the famous Avalon Airport to Gold Coast. And this is the same Avalon Airport that Adam and Ben accidentally booked a flight from once earlier in the game.
In my opinion, it's really an unbelievable dunk on us that you took a flight to an airport that we didn't know the geography of and lost us the game, and you took it from an airport who we also didn't know the geography of, and which messed us up in a huge way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Good to know your airports.
Just kind of a massive double dunk.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the audience got to see what Avalon is and where it was after hearing about it.
Yeah, the answer to where it was is very far. But Toby, what led to the decision to go to Avalon Airport, like, our big worry was, if we go to Avalon Airport, we have no option but to take that Gold Coast flight.
Mm.
There's literally no other flight to anywhere remotely useful at a time even remotely near our time. And therefore, the second we got on that bus to Avalon Airport, we locked in the rest of our game. So the reason why we were doing all this math was basically to see, like, is there any world in which we would want to change our strategy? And essentially the conclusion we came to was no. So by going to Avalon Airport versus Melbourne Airport, we were able to save a couple hundred dollars and therefore have a little bit more padding for the different permutations of balance and stuff like that. But once again, similar to the morning, it just felt very nerve-wracking, I think, to lock up our strategy for the rest of the game at that point.
Yeah. And I don't know if we want to talk about it now, but that bus ride, that hour and a half bus ride to Avalon Airport, was for me the most pivotal part of the finale, in a sense that we went through every emotion on the bus ride. And I'm sure whoever edited this saw all of our thoughts and opinions, but we went from being convinced we had won to being convinced we had lost to being convinced again that we had a shot to designing a Mexican standoff, we called it, and all sorts of crazy, like, ideas happened on that bus, most of which got cut out so that we didn't spoil too much, but that was a big brainstorming session.
Yeah, and the most existential risk on that bus ride was the fact that we once again almost missed our flight, because the bus ride took, like, massively longer than it was supposed to, despite already being a massively long bus ride. And we once again had to pay Skybus, that freaking monopoly, like $50 for two bus tickets. You know what? Another rant about Skybus. The reason why the bus took so long is at a certain point, it got off the motorway, went through like this small town where it had an additional stop. Nobody got on, nobody got off at that small town, but the traffic in that small town was terrible. Wow. We were stuck in that small town for like 30-40 minutes and then went right back onto the motorway and I lost a shitload of time. And so we arrive at the airport, literally, I think we get there at like 4:15, flight takes off at 4:40. Luckily, tiny, tiny airport and we make it. But like towards the end of that bus ride, we were just worried that we were going to lose because we'd miss our flight.
Well, it is worth going over some of the stuff that happened in that bus because as you noted, Toby, we had to cut it out because it was impossible to make any of it make sense without revealing your plan.
Yeah.
But you guys had identified, and Sam, maybe this is the time to go over it.
Yep.
That our best move was to get on a train to Gold Coast from Brisbane.
And do exactly what we were doing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Because, of course, from Brisbane, like, you have direct trains to the Gold Coast from even the airport.
Right.
Yeah. So at the time, Ben and Adam were in Brisbane. We were on the bus to Avalon, and we were very worried that they would identify the Gold Coast hat, stay in Brisbane, get on a train, and they would be waiting for us in the Gold Coast, essentially. And both teams would be ending the day trying to pull off the Gold Coast hack. And that really worried us for the following reason, which is that if that happened at that point in the game, Ben and Adam had more money than we did. And so we would have both been in the Gold Coast competing for Gold Coast, New South Wales, but they would have had just slightly more money than us. And that really, really worried us. But I do think ultimately we realized even though you had more money than us and we were competing for the same two regions in the Gold Coast, we could have still won because you would have needed at least double our balance to stop us from winning back one of them. That's what we called the Mexican standoff.
Explain to me what this was because I still don't understand.
It's essentially that if we stand on the border and we don't commit until the very last second whether we're going to bid for Queensland or New South Wales to get from you and you're doing the same thing, you can't claim both of the states, which is what you need to do to win.
That's
and
true.
We would always be able to win at least one of them.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
That was our, redeeming factor here.
But for that to work, we would have had to deposit like literally in the closing second of the game, which would have been very fun.
Wait, but would that have worked? Because by the time you got there, we would have claimed both of them.
But we could reclaim.
Yeah, we could always reclaim one because you didn't have double our balance spare.
Right, but then we could Mexican stand off you. We could stand on the other side. And if you say we reclaim New South Wales, we would walk over and say, now we claim New South Wales. And then you could go to Queens, right? Like we would be able to just.
But I think you needed both of them and we only needed to retain one. Is that right? I think.
Yeah,
because we had four and you had three. If you didn't go to Canberra or anywhere, you needed to get both of them.
We needed both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you only needed one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there was a period where we were pretty convinced that this was what was going to happen. Mostly because we saw through the combo of the tracker and the balance thing that you hadn't booked a flight.
Right. In Brisbane.
And, you know, it went on and on and on. And we thought, like, the only reason why that would be the case was if they were about to leave the airport.
Yeah.
So, you know, until we saw you book a flight, we increasingly thought that we were headed towards this scenario. And at first we hadn't identified, like it took us a little while to walk through it and figure out the whole Mexican standoff idea. So for a little while we thought, oh, we might've actually just lost this.
Mm. Yeah. Well, on our end, get to Brisbane. What can we say, Ben? I mean, we were so confident about our Canberra plan. We felt really good about it.
Yep.
And actually, it's worth saying there were two flights to Canberra. There was an earlier flight, and we had a different one that we were considering like the backup flight. So we were like, we'll try for the early one, but as a backup, there's a later one. So we felt very confident. Our flight got in a good bit late, Ben. I mean, probably like 20, 30 minutes late, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
So the first one was no longer a possibility. But we still had plenty of time for the second one. Like, our problem is always that we run out of time to book, but we had time to book. You know, we couldn't book online, but we knew that they could do it at the Well, we tried to book on our phone, but we couldn't, I think because it was sold out. And so then we were like, oh my God, we'll go to a gate. And then it turned out it just was straight up sold out, which I think is the only time this season that a flight has been sold out that we wanted to take. Normally, again, the problem is we don't have time to book, but that was not the issue. The issue in this case, very rarely, is it was just straight up sold out. Could not get on it.
Yeah. And they wouldn't let us do our little move that we like to do because it really had no seats left. So at that point, we then like reveal our plan to the audience and we're like, well, here's what we were going to do, but now there's no way for us to do it.
Which is worth saying just to be extra clear what it was.
Yeah. Which was to go to Canberra, take the bus across the border to Queen Bean, and just knock them out 1-2 at the last minute. But we saw that there was a flight we could take to Sydney and then another flight we could connect to that we would probably be able to make to Canberra. And so we were still like, okay, we have enough money to do this. We're still going to get the number of regions we need. So it's fine. It's like a little tighter, but honestly, we weren't feeling that worried.
Right.
And especially then they were able to move us onto an even earlier flight to Sydney. And so at that point we were like, it's no problem. We're fine.
Right. And it's worth just clarifying again as a rules thing that you cannot deposit when you're on a connection, which is highly relevant here. Like basically for gameplay reasons, it would make things too weird. It would basically make connections way too overpowered and you should just book flights with really bad connections and just deposit on them. So when you're on a connecting flight, you're considered in the air until you land at your final destination. So you can't deposit anywhere.
On that, did you consider doing it a connection, Sydney-Canberra, not depositing in Sydney, but then still doing the Canberra bus trick at the end?
I think that we would not have landed in Canberra with enough time to confidently do the bus trick. My understanding, is my memory.
Probably.
Both were risks, but I think it was safer to not book it as a connection and to try it.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we would have made it to Canberra in time to confidently do the bus thing.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have.
I believe we looked into this and that was the case.
We did. That was our first impulse and it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
So, Toby, we prevail.
Well, I think that there's the last step, which is that we land in Sydney.
We have another disaster.
And then we have the problem of, we have two in a row, right? We have a disaster when we land in Sydney.
This is around the time you guys burst into the staff room of Virgin Australia, which was wild for me to see.
We went into the break room.
I can't comprehend how this happened. I know the airports are confusing, but one would expect this door to be locked.
You would certainly think, wouldn't you?
I don't know. The guy was just like, go upstairs. And there were stairs right there. And we went up them. And then there we were.
Yeah, I don't think that was our fault. Mm-hmm. I think that was this guy's fault. Also, he was wrong that we had to do that. We booked at just a different gate agent. Like,
oh, wow.
I don't know what that man was all about. But he points us in the wrong way. But yeah, what happens is, we land and it's too expensive now. And I think it was too expensive by like $20.
It was too expensive by $17. I remember how brutal that was. Yeah, we just couldn't do it.
Which was real tough info.
Oh, so you actually chose not to go to Canberra because I thought that you chose to go to Victoria because you thought we were going to Devonport for some reason.
No, so we didn't choose not to go to Canberra. We still wanted to go to Canberra because we felt it was the safest option.
Yeah.
Because at that point, and this is another sort of nuanced thing, at that point, we did not know how much you would deposit in Victoria, in Melbourne.
Yeah, the one we nearly forgot to deposit altogether.
Which is insane.
Oh, that would have been so good.
So funny. And so we didn't know how much you would deposit, but we assumed it would be an amount that would be too much for us to overcome. Mm. And then once we saw that you had left, that's when we were like, we could go to Melbourne and just deposit the $2, even though the flights to Melbourne were a good bit more expensive.
Yeah.
The reason we thought you were going to Devonport was that we pulled up Flight Radar 24 because we had kind of thought you would probably go to Tasmania because that was the only sort of accessible territory that we still held that we thought you would try to take back. I guess you could have gone back to Queensland, but there were no flights to Queensland, I don't think. And so then we were like, well, they must be going to Tasmania. And there was a flight to a weird place in Tasmania. that left from Avalon Airport at almost the exact same time that your flight left. And we were like, oh, I'm sure that they have some clever little thing that they think is so clever at the end. And we were like, that's what it is. We were like, it's that they're flying to this weird part of Tasmania for super cheap, probably, because they don't have to actually be at the challenge board. And we were like, that's their trick. And it really was crazy, the timing of, like, it's obviously just confirmation bias, but like, we were like, maybe they'll go to Tasmania. And then we see your tracker goes off the minute that a flight leaves from Avalon Airport to Tasmania.
Wow.
And we're like, that has to be it. That has to be it. Like, there's no other thing. And the price of that flight was also almost exactly what you spent. I think it was off by like $2 or $3.
There was a commercial flight to Tasmania?
I think that's right. Maybe I'm misremembering. It's possible that—
I really don't think that there was a commercial flight from Avalon Airport to Tasmania. I think it was maybe just a private flight.
Maybe it was a private flight.
Yeah, the only airlines that operate at Avalon are—
Bonza.
Jetstar and Jetstar. Bonza, rest in peace.
It's possible. We can't check and confirm the Bonza flights, but it's possible they might have gone. And if so, that's just lucky for us that it clouded our real plan in confusion.
I mean, really, ultimately, our biggest mistake there was just not thinking that, like, you guys would not come to the fairly obvious conclusion that we were going to go to New South Wales or Canberra next. But again, we also just kind of thought it didn't matter because we thought there was no way you could possibly get both before the end of the game.
Right.
Or both New South Wales and Queensland. Yeah. But then there you go, landing in the Gold Coast.
I was really hoping that y'all wouldn't get it until the moment of us actually depositing, because it would have been so juicy.
Yeah.
Because it was clear to me that y'all would think that you were winning at that point. So, Toby, we had our transit cards already from the prior visits 2 days earlier. We take the bus. And then we have this always awkward period that the audience never sees where we just have to wait around for a while in order to wrap the season up. And it's like just waiting for the moment, because we get there like a good hour or so before Ben and Adam, I think, land on our available to call.
Yeah. And look, I knew that the reaction of them realizing what we'd done so late in the game would be devastating, but nothing could prepare me for the reality of watching it on the episode and seeing how quiet and somber and devastating it was.
Yeah.
To see you on the plane too, that's rough.
Yeah. I think Adam had texted me something like, oh, I really wish I knew about that earlier or something. So I knew that they realized.
Yeah, I believe the exact text was, well, there's an airport whose geography it would have been useful to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I was a little disappointed by, because I really wanted to be able to, on the call. We had talked through this a little bit, Toby. Like, we wanted to pretend as if we were
conceding,
all sad and stuff. It's like, okay, you know, here's our last thing in Brisbane. And then let them think that they've won and then do a whole, but like, but wait, it would have been so juicy. But alas, they looked at the map. So obviously y'all know what's about to happen. And we get on a call. And that's that.
I'll say that I really enjoyed Toby went completely rogue in the last few seconds of the season, where she just started declaring the motion graphics existed. And you can see Sam seeing the dollar signs in front of him, of like, you just start being like, and there's a kangaroo and there's snakes on the street and there's a spider. And then Ben makes the balloon. My favorite one, though, is that Ben has done this whole thing about the balloon trophy and he sends it to you and you just go, there's a balloon trophy that's shaped like a kangaroo, which now meant that the post-production team had to make it shaped like a kangaroo.
I'm sorry to the post team.
Because I remember I edited that sequence and I forgot that you said that when I sent it over. And then I got back the video of the wonderful work that the motion graphics team did to make the trophy. And then Ben made the balloon trophy and it looked like a kangaroo. And I was like, oh, that's fun. They made it look like a kangaroo. I wonder why they did that. And then it got to the part where you say that it looks like a kangaroo. And I was like, right, they had to.
They did a great job. I'm sorry for my demands. That sequence, though, and thank you for not making it look too awkward in the end, was actually so I like fell off during that trophy sequence. I couldn't actually hear the phone call with Ben and Ad. I couldn't hear anything you guys were saying. So when I'm like, oh, the motion graphic, I was thinking, did they say the motion graphic had something on it? I don't know. I have to act like I know what they said because we're on the middle of a roundabout and there's traffic going around us throughout the sequence. It was almost impossible to hear anything, but I'm glad we pulled together some comprehensible words there.
Yep.
Look, you got in your money's worth while you had the chance.
I think that's big.
I respect it.
No, well, I love you guys' shot of the big thing. It's very fun the way you frame it.
It is a nice big thing.
We're lucky we found a visual representation of the state border because initially we like, oh, are we just going to like stand on a random street or like randomly in the airport?
Right.
But we managed to find a monument and I think that made it more visually interesting.
Yeah, no, it was great that you had that physical thing there. It made it so much cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. My overall thoughts on this game a little bit are, I don't know if this is luck or skill, but Sam and I don't talk to a gate agent the entire game. We basically just get on the flights that we book. Whereas you guys, it seems, are at the airport begging quite a lot in this game. And this is one thing that surprised me the most watching it come together. It's like, oh, we're playing two different games here. You know, one team is constantly having airport troubles. And we had plenty of our own troubles, but they weren't really airport related.
Well, I think it goes back to sort of what we said at the beginning, which I think remained true throughout, where it's like Ben and Adam were just playing a higher risk, higher reward game. Mm-hmm. And that can work or it can't. And throughout the season, it sort of balanced out, I think, where like Toby, you and I play a pretty measured, less risky game, at least once we get more into it. Whereas like Ben and Adam, you were willing to do some pretty risky things with tight connections and hope they work. And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. You're willing to be risky and go to the Outback, do a big different strategy and stuff like that. And ultimately, again, like that can work, but it won't always work.
In this case, it did not work. Well, I also think part of the reason for that is maybe a slightly less interesting one, which is that Ben and I think we're more willing to get to the airport like just before our flight, but we never wanted to book our flight before we were at the airport because we were like, well, what if something goes wrong? What if we get to the airport too late? What if there's, you know, a delay? I don't know, whatever. So we were kind of the mind of like, let's get to the airport and then book because then we know we've made it. We know we'll make our flight. But that then led to we often didn't have time to book and then lots of problems.
Yeah. And I think in general, showing up at an airport without a flight is kind of a bad thing to do. At least I don't think we would have done that because like the gate agents and whatever, like they obviously want to disincentivize people showing up without a flight. They only want travelers to come. So I think Sam and I and UC, we just had to commit to those risks. There were instances where we might not have made the flight, but we just had to book it in advance and commit to that risk in advance. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tricky thing.
But it is interesting in the sense of like, as Sam mentioned, there were several flights that you guys almost missed.
Definitely. Yeah.
And if you miss a flight that you've paid for, that money is gone.
That's why there's a lot of luck in here too.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will also say a lot of it came down to the fact that like, we were putting down amounts on challenges that like, were we to fail them, it would require us changing our whole strategy and not getting on a flight and going to a different place.
Right.
Whereas, like, I think there were a lot of times where, like, you guys booked a flight and then you did challenges and failed them and it didn't matter and you still wanted to get on that same flight. I mean, I think a good example was, like, the morning of day three where, like, we didn't want to go to Alice Springs, but, like, we ended up risking so much that we had no choice but to then pivot and go to Alice Springs. And if we had a flight to somewhere else, it would have been bad.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that's really interesting is that I actually want to double check if this is the case, but I believe that the two teams in the end earned almost the exact same amount of money.
Wow.
Because if you do the math on it, let me check this. Because, yeah, you guys had, yeah, it's actually kind of uncanny. Like, you guys ended with 3041. We ended up with 1,222. And if you look at the map, both teams put down almost the exact same amount because of everything except for Tasmania, where we put down 2,000 and you guys didn't, which means that you give me 1 second to do this math. Maybe I won't do it exactly, but like, I think that the two teams were within $150 of each other in our total money earned.
Well, and it's certainly the case that we sort of converged on a pretty standardized amount for what a decisive deposit is, because we had no idea going into this game, like, what final deposits would be like. And I think that is sort of reflected about the fact that, like, in retrospect, arguably, y'all put too much in Tasmania. Not doing that could have made things easier for y'all later on, because I think the highest deposit in the entire game was Tasmania, right?
Mm. Yeah. I think ultimately we, like, expected it to just be, like, a higher earning game than resulted.
Yeah. Because we had earned so much money so quickly and so easily on that first day. I think we were like, oh, people are going to be swimming in money throughout this game. So it's just not a problem. I have done the math, by the way. Throughout the game, in terms of net money that we either deposited or had, I guess this doesn't relate to flight prices, so I guess I don't have those numbers. But in terms of, if you add up all the money that was on the board and then the money that was still in our banks, for you guys, it's 7,042, and for us, it's 7,224. So it's only $182 apart.
That's pretty cool. I like that. In that sense, we were very close the entire time.
Yeah, that was fun. I think I have a concluding declaration to make.
Okay, great.
Uh-oh.
Let's hear it.
I can't wait.
I think this was my favorite plane-based season that we've done.
Hmm.
To play, or like in terms of the final product, or both?
Kind of combo. Because it's the most dynamic plane-based game that I think we've had. I personally, very pro train, not as pro plane. But this time, I feel like we had some more like train vibes with more dynamism. The fact that we get to, in some cases, three different cities in one day, despite being on planes, that is somewhat rare for plane-based seasons. But also, it was really nice to see a foreign country where you don't have the trains, but you do have planes, and you're able to, you know, see it with that level of depth, where you go to these places that are less touristy, like, you know, Adelaide, for example, or Brisbane. Well, Brisbane is touristy to Australians, but not to Americans, but, you know.
I think that it's like, it's less linear than most of our plane seasons in a way that's nice. It's like the other plane seasons we've done, it's either a race, you start somewhere and you just move forward. So I think that the strategy, well, the strategy is still complex. I think sometimes it can feel a little less fun and gamey. It's a little more just moving in a straight line. And then with like Battle for America, there's a little more to that, but it still is like, you don't really go back to where you've been. Whereas in train games, in tag, you know, especially, like, there's a decent amount of you return to places you've been, you kind of backtrack sometimes, you kind of go back and forth. And I think this game had that. I think this game felt very gamey. Right? It really felt, I think, some of the most board gamey.
Yeah.
I think this is maybe the most board game feeling game that we've played.
I think you designed a great game. And on that topic, it's time to address the allegations. Is this game based on Mario Party 8, Koopa's Tycoon Town? Which is a game I didn't know.
What's that?
It's a Mario Party world. I'm familiar with Mario Party, but not this particular world where apparently, and all the commenters have mentioned it, Koopa's Tycoon Town, you bid on hotels, Koopas? You put money into hotels, you claim hotels in a very similar way that we were claiming regions in this game. And I wondered if any of you had played it. Maybe Ben.
I have heard this too. I have not played Mario Party 8, so I would not know. But they do great stuff there over at Nintendo. And for us to have accidentally stumbled upon the same mechanic is very exciting, to me, at least.
Great mind,
convergent great evolution. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the challenges we did do very much have mini game vibes to them, Nintendo mini games, even the golf and everything.
It was very Mario Party-esque. Yeah. I can definitely see that. I didn't think about that before we played, but 100%.
No. In hindsight, very much, yeah.
All right. Any concluding thoughts?
I'm sad that we won't get to talk to Toby once every few weeks.
Yeah, although you'll see her in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You'll be at VidCon. That's exciting.
I will. But yes, this is my final time on the Lay of a Podcast and on the screen, except or maybe you'll have an outtakes episode. That would be cool to see. So you might see me again on that. Can't wait to see all the random embarrassing things you find to include in that. But no, it's been an honor to be back for another season. It was so fun. Such a well-designed game. Like you were saying, I think it worked out so perfectly to have a tight ending all the way to the end of the last day. So it was awesome to be back.
Well, it was awesome to have you, Toby. I feel like you've now seen the two diametric opposites of the jet lag experience with like the car based thing, which is like by far the least chaotic. Well, it was obviously chaotic, but less so like dealing with the constraints of public transport, all the way to true chaos, living out of a backpack on planes for multiple days. It is the two diametric opposites. We'll have to see in the future whether there's an opportunity to turn it into a three-peat.
We'll have to get you on a train one of these days.
Mm-hmm. One of these days, yeah. I mean, if the audience convinces Australia to build trains, maybe we can have Toby back. There's some good motivation.
We can do the gun. We'll do the gun and stop at the signal station again.
The gun. The game is just eating very good food.
Go in a straight line.
Yes. Who can have the most luxurious experience in 4 days?
You can do like a Murder on the Orient Express kind of vibe, you know?
Ooh, that would be good. Don't give us too many ideas on the podcast or people hear them and steal them.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'll be listening to the off-season from here on out. Mm. Excited to see what games you got.
Yep, us too.
Everyone loves the off-season. Everyone always says that the off-season is their favorite thing that the entire Wendover Productions media empire makes.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. So, should we conclude? Any last things to say?
Sam, you're in charge.
I feel prepared to conclude.
Okay. This marks the end of this season of the Layover Podcast. Goodbye.
Wow.
Perfect job.
It brings a tear to your eyes.
Bye.
Thank you, Toby.
Thank you, Toby.
Thank you, Toby.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.